Greetings and welcome to the HP Podcast. I'm Ben, and with me here is Brandon.
Hey.
And Dave.
Howdy.
He is no longer tasting cake this week.
No cake was tasted. As a matter of fact, just an appetizer, entrees, and about six different desserts, and they were all delicious. So,
are you trying to tell me you didn't taste a cake, though, for your wedding tasting?
No. The tasting was just for the actual menu for the meal that night. I don't know. Do I need to taste a cake? Isn't cake cake?
I mean, I would say it is, but a lot of people would differ with that.
Oh. Hmm.
Yeah.
For my wedding, I was thinking about just having like rotisserie chickens on the table and everyone can just kind of like...
From Walmart.
Yeah, everyone can just kind of like pick as they please, you know?
Just at my wedding, Costco $8 chickens everywhere.
We had like a cake, I think. It's hard to remember at this point, but we also did chocolate covered strawberries.
Ooh.
Like everybody got chocolate, and like they were like gourmet, whatever. I don't know what that means. They're just bigger, I guess. But yeah, that was a thing. But I like the rotisserie chicken option. It's, you know, people are just tired of doing the same old thing at every wedding they go to. So you got to make it a little different.
You never see carcasses on every table. You never see that.
That's for the after party. Usually.
That's unheard of in the wedding scene.
Man, I was just realizing that it's been almost a decade since I got married because I actually have these lawn chairs that I like, you know, we have used every year, and they're really nice lawn chairs. We got them as a gift for our wedding, and somebody, I was like, man, these things don't last very long. And my wife was like, it's been almost 10 years since we got. I was like, oh, yeah. I mean, I knew how long we'd been married, yeah. But of course, you know, but
time catches up.
Forgot about the chairs being that old, too. So,
yep.
This is the HP Podcast, your weekly show about video games and basically rotisserie chickens at weddings as well. And we want to thank the patrons who make the show possible. You can go over to patreon.com/handsomephantom and sign up for the Patreon for as little as $1 a month. You get ad-free early access. And it's just, you know, it's a spectubular time.
Okay.
Yes. Spectubular.
Spectubular.
It is a word that I just, I don't know if I came up with it, but I just said it and don't know if it's a real word.
I
do that all the time.
Yeah. And also, if you want to hang out with us, you can go over to our Discord at handsomephantom.com/discord and hop right in, hang out, say hello. Just look at the old channels from old shows we used to have about Fortnite and Evangelion and make fun of us. For some reason, people like to do that.
I have to drop my quarterly message in the Fly By Night channel just to say, Start the show again.
Yes. Yeah. What if we started, so for those who don't know, we had a show that was actually one of our most popular things we've ever done called Fly By Night, which was all about Fortnite. We did it in season 4 and it carried over into season 5. It was Brandon, Dustin, and I. Me, whatever the right English is there. And then we just stopped playing Fortnite and quit caring about it, so we stopped doing the show. But what if we revived it and did it from the angle of these guys don't care about Fortnite, but they're going to talk about it for an hour anyway.
Okay.
And let's just do it.
Let's do it. I was thinking of the alternate timeline where we actually continued the show.
Yeah.
And
we work for Epic
and
now.
And it became our only thing.
Right.
And we started making like really cringy YouTube thumbnails to impress the children that play the game. I could see it's very close to the darkest timeline.
Yes.
Would have been that.
Indeed. I think we would actually like start selling skins for the podcast listeners. Like, here's a skin for your podcast listening app to make you look more like Wolverine. While you listen to this podcast.
Yeah, nothing like selling skins.
That's right. Boys, let's talk about some news. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Do it.
Today, PlayStation, on the PlayStation blog, announced Housemarque is now part of the family. And here's what I'm going to tell you about this, is that I clicked on the link in my Google Doc on my iPad, and it's telling me I need to install Safari or Chrome, which I already have both of. So it's taking us. Okay, here we go. Welcoming Housemarque.
Just fuck them. Go with Mozilla.
That's right. Yeah. Dude, use Opera.
Yeah. Welcoming Housemarque to the PlayStation Studios family. Today, this is from Herman Hulse, the head of PlayStation Studios. Today, I'm thrilled to welcome a new member to the PlayStation Studios family. I have been a fan of Housemarque since the studio's early days when they introduced Super Stardust HD. The PlayStation fans. Housemarque's recent release of Returnal proves the studio is one with incredible vision, capable of creating memorable new games that resonate with our community. This edition enhances the creative force of PlayStation Studios, and I cannot wait to see what the future holds for Housemarque. Yada, yada, yada. Then a statement from the managing director and co-founder over at Housemarque. Guys, gut check here, gut reaction. What do you think about PlayStation bringing Housemarque into the family?
Oh, let me enlighten you with my hot take. Mm-hmm. I've been seeing this for a long time. I cannot tell you how many people I saw today on Twitter when this got announced say that they, you know, we've been knowing this for a long time. We've been seeing this for a long time. So I just want to put out my unique and completely individual idea that we saw this coming for a long time.
Well, I agree. That kind of stuff gets annoying. But in fairness, this has been one of those that's been like discussed for years and years and years.
Right. I'm teasing. But
yeah. What do you like? I don't know if either of you like Housemarque games. Have you ever played Housemarque games previous to this? Previous at all?
Yeah, I have not played Returnal like you, Ben.
Yeah, me either.
but I have played Alienation and Zomination, and I don't know if a lot of people were like me today and were a little bit surprised. And was like, I thought PlayStation already owned them.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, they seem to show a lot of faith in the studio with Returnal. I assume some of their financial resources in the development of Returnal probably came from Sony in some way.
Absolutely.
So despite, you know, however the sales ended up with Returnal, and, you know, the reception was good among critics and maybe not as much among fans, but I'm sure Housemarque's next game will be their biggest ever and probably be a true AAA. So I think it means big things for them in the future.
For sure. Let's see. Today, this is what the co-founder said, and I'm saying that because I don't know how to correctly pronounce his name, so I'm not going to. But today is a big day for Housemarque, and is been over 26 years in the making. I didn't realize they'd been around quite that long. Our strong partnership with Sony Interactive Entertainment started out with Super Stardust HD on PS3, and since then we have made arcade-inspired games for all of the PlayStation platforms. With Returnal for PS5, our most recent release, our biggest foray into third-person action gaming solidified our voice and brand in the industry as delivering unique and quality player experiences. And I think at some point, either here or in another interview I saw, they did talk about their next game is going to be even bigger than Returnal. And I think a lot of us, myself included, even though I was hopeful, were a little bit skeptical of, well, should Housemarque be making a $70 game? We haven't seen them prove that in the past. And I think they proved a lot of people wrong with that. Because Returnal is just, I mean, you mentioned their numbers, Dave. I don't know. We haven't seen publicly available numbers, but they were and have been at the, you know, close to the top of the charts since the game released.
I think this is a really smart move for Sony, and coming from someone who has next to no experience with the studio itself, Housemarque, I'd love to play Returnal someday, but haven't yet. I think that they have a special way of aggregating their studios in such a way that they're confident in them, and we haven't really seen anything, at least from my point of view, that has said any otherwise. I mean, Insomniac, Santa Monica Studios, you know, the Nine Yards. So I could see the value in the company. I mean, you know, even look at visually Returnal. So I think that this is definitely a smart move. And I agree with Dave. I think that this was kind of like a proving next step for them with Returnal.
Yeah.
And now that they have been acquired by Sony, it's just going to skyrocket them. I think the hype for the company itself, not like it wasn't there, because it has been. But Returnal, I would say probably is their biggest game, if I had to guess.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, it's definitely their biggest as far as scope. Now, did you play Rezogun? For some reason, I thought you played Rezogun.
That was like, I think, one of the first couple PlayStation Plus games before I had my PS4.
It launched on PlayStation Plus.
Okay.
Yeah. If I'm remembering correctly.
I've seen it being played many times, but I've never played myself. So
I love Rezogun. It's one of those games where you can just jump into it for a few minutes in between, like, oh, well, I'm waiting on this game, or maybe, you know, you just completed a level in whatever game, and, you know, you gotta go somewhere in half an hour, so why not jump in and try to kill some aliens and save some humans while you're at it. Rezogun's great for that, and all the other games they've made that I've played, which is, I don't know that I ever played Super Stardust, but I might have. I mean, I know I've seen it, but I can't remember if I've actually played it because that's been so long ago. It
cleaned back in 94.
94?
Yep. 93 was Stardust 1.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I definitely didn't play that. But the 94. First one they did with Sony, which would have been in 06-ish probably. Super Stardust HD. Anyway.
07.
07. Okay. Yeah, it was close.
Yeah, not bad.
Pretty impressive. Per shot in the dark. And yeah, so I'm really excited. I'm sure that once I actually get to play Returnal, by the way, for an update, my PlayStation is supposedly on its way back from Sony. We'll see if it's fixed this time or not. But I'm really excited to play Returnal and have been for a long time. So congrats to them. The one thing I couldn't figure out here, it says they joined PlayStation Studios, but I don't know if that means, I mean, I'm assuming that means they've been purchased, right?
Yeah.
That's like, what it seems like to me.
But I don't see any of that information. Yeah. But I don't see that information released. And certainly we don't see any numbers yet. That usually comes out around the quarterly numbers, that time frame. But it never once says they've been acquired or purchased or anything like that. It just constantly says they're part of the PlayStation Studios family, which I thought that there was a PlayStation Studios branding at the beginning of Returnal. But I could be wrong. I don't know. We'll see. I think it's most likely that they've been purchased, but we'll see.
Yeah, you should know. That's the only part of the game you've seen.
That and yes, that and the next 30 seconds, and that's pretty much it for me. Okay, the next story is exciting for like a bajillion different reasons, and Brandon, I know you're particularly excited about this. Dave, did you play? Okay, so here's the story first. Ghost of Tsushima has the director's cut has been rated by the ESRB. And it has been rated on PS4 and PS5. Dave, did you play Ghost?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, nice. So we've all played it. I assume we all loved it because I know Brandon and I did. Dave, I think you did as well. And so the ESRB has filed a rating for Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut, which effectively reveals the existence of a new PS4 and PS5 version of Sucker Punch's hit game ahead of any official announcement. The newly published rating reveals that this is courtesy of IGN, by the way, that Sony Interactive Entertainment has submitted a game called Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut for rating, and it will be available both on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5. Now, earlier in the week, or maybe it was even last week, we heard about the possibility of an expansion or a standalone game or something along those lines, set on a different island, perhaps, of Ghost of Tsushima, which I would have to imagine these two things are related, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's very little chance that they're going to put out a director's cut without whatever addition they're going to be adding.
Right.
What is it that you want to see more from Ghost of Tsushima? Or do you just want more of the same?
I like that we're seeing more of this, and whatever it actually turns out to be, whether it is Ghosts of Ishikawa is what I saw. Like it was actually a different name. So it's sort of like that. It's sort of like Miles Morales or Lost Legacy, where it's not like a sequel, but it's sort of like it's more than a bit of DLC. And I love that it's standalone. So if it's something robust, like to the degree that those ones were, and Infamous, what was it, Second Light?
Second Son.
First Light.
First Light. Yep. Yeah. Second Son was the game.
Yeah, so I love that. I mean, the game was obviously received extremely well, so why not give us a little bit more, a little bit sooner than we can expect a fully realized sequel? Like, this is just a nice stopgap of more of what we know everybody loves. So I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
My thought about this is, and this is just, this is as little spoilers as possible. At the end of the game, you know, the ghost can no longer, or maybe chooses, depending on, there are multiple branches that you can take at the end of the game. So either is no longer or chooses to no longer be in Tsushima or on Tsushima. So maybe Jin goes somewhere else.
Yeah.
And that's the expansion. Or maybe it's a totally different character or whatever. Who knows? And again, we don't know for sure that that's going to be included in the director's cut. IGN points out one strange thing. They said one strange element, the rating states that there are in-game purchases, but only for the PS4 version. It's unclear what that means as Ghost doesn't feature microtransactions. The thing I was thinking about is that, remember whenever they added Legends, which, by the way, is just them giving us more sooner. Once again, the multiplayer edition, you had to actually go in and like redeem a multiplayer token essentially from the store. It was free, but you still had to go in and do it. And I'm imagining if they offer this for PS4 and an upgrade, whether it's free or paid, to PS5, which I would hope it would be free because they've already done so many enhancements to the PS4 version, that you just have to go in and redeem that again. But I guess we'll see a little more once that comes about. I would be really interested to see if it's another Final Fantasy thing where they're like, here's an expansion, but it's only available on the PS5 version. You can't get it on the PS4 version. I think that's bad business, but that's just my...
Yeah. Yeah, they've given us so much. I can't really foresee them doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But my biggest draw to something new is that I platinum the game. Yeah. And once I platinum a game, I am less motivated to play it.
Right.
And that was before the 60 frames per second patch came out on the PS4. And I would love a reason to be reinvigorated for this game because I've seen the patch.
Yes.
I just haven't played it. You know what I mean? Like I booted it up and walked around a little bit, but it's something different to be said for actually experiencing the full thing. I'm incredibly intrigued by this idea. I'm wondering what this new trend in the director's cut's going to be.
Uh-huh.
This is the second game we've seen come out with this type of naming on it.
Right.
You know, you have Kojima's game. What's that? Death Stranding director's cut.
Yeah.
And I just wonder what that means exactly based on normal things. Like, I understand the reference as far as movies go. There's going to be some more different content. But when I think of that in movies, I think of a couple extra things.
Right.
And mostly the same thing.
Some deleted scenes or something.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm confused by the naming, but regardless, nonetheless, you know, I would love to see more Jin. I would love to see something else. I mean, there were a ton of really awesome characters in the game. But yeah, just another reason to play this beautiful, beautiful, breathtaking game would be excellent by me. So.
For sure. I would be interested to see if they do anything else with Legends in addition to that. I know they've continued to work on it, but Legends was such a big hit right after it came out that I really think that if they were to expand or whatever on that as well, that would be fun. Yeah, so I agree with you, by the way. I played Ghost and platinumed it. And then when the update came out, I think I did the New Game Plus. I might have imagined that, but either way, it came out, but by the time I definitely played it for a while.
Right.
By the time that the patch came out, I did the same thing as you. I hopped in, I downloaded the patch, I hopped in, I ran around a little bit to see the features, and then I was like, well, I don't really have an incentive to play this other than just to play it again.
Right.
Which I've already played it twice.
Yeah. So, which is good in and of itself, but
right.
Another reason to get the platinum, if there is a platinum in this game, like I have this problem where I will platinum the first version of the game and then the second one will come out or vice versa and be way more difficult than the first one.
Yeah.
And so I'm hoping they kind of continue this forthness with the challenges because I would love to just dive real deep and get inside Tsushima again.
Yeah, for sure. Dave, are you going to jump back in?
I installed it on my PS5 shortly after I got it and I haven't... jump back in. Yeah, it's funny. I was watching some people play it on Twitch last week, and I'm just like, I haven't even experienced this game in 60 frames per second yet. So
yeah, it's so much. I mean, it's already so beautiful that it kind of doesn't, you don't even feel like you need the 60 frames until you experience the 60 frames.
Yeah.
So I definitely have to. And now you guys are talking about platinum. So now that I'm a platinum boy, I may have to go in and...
Oh, that's right. Dave, you got your first platinum recently.
What did you get?
I got my first platinum that wasn't from a Telltale game. I got the platinum for Outriders.
Hell, just the other day. Dude.
So,
yeah. That's great.
Nice. Yeah. Next up on the news, Control.
Okay.
Remedy has signed a co-publishing and development agreement with 505 Games. And this letter here, which I'm not going to read entirely... comes from the game director of the Control franchise, Michael Kasrinen. Mikhail Kasrinen? Something like that. Apologize, Michael. Mikhail. Today, Remedy Entertainment and 505 Games announced that we have signed a new game, codenamed Condor, which is a spinoff set to expand the world we kicked off with Control. I want to take a minute to talk about the World of Control and our plans a bit more. And then he goes on to thank everyone, talk about Control and how there's so much more, and basically saying Project Condor will be an expression of that. I love multiplayer games. In the glorious 90s, me and three friends of mine hooked up our PCs to a local network, et cetera, et cetera. He talks about the same experience that all of us have had in the past. And in my professional career, I have focused almost solely on single-player experiences. Making the world revolve around one player allows an incomparable power fantasy, a total immersion of being somewhere else, anywhere else, or anyone else. But there's another side to games, a social collective experience, which you share with other people, your friends. And that's something about sharing that can elevate it to an experience that's impossible to achieve alone. Which I know, of course, all of us have, you know, we love single-player games, but also it's nice to play with friends sometimes. So, Control. Haven't got confirmation of a sequel yet, quite yet, although I can't imagine that won't be coming in some way, shape, or form in the future. But definitely looks like we're getting a spinoff to Control. Now, I played Control. Brandon, you didn't.
I played for a couple hours.
Okay.
Don't ask my opinion on it.
Okay. Dave? Yeah.
No, I did not play Control. I missed it.
But you both have access to it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. It's just...
just wasn't your thing.
It's confusing for the sake of being confusing.
Yeah.
And poor game design.
That's I mean, that's Remedy. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if I would agree with the poor game design part, yeah. But I agree with the confusing for the sake.
Yeah. It's like I want to be intrigued and confused and not just like
confusing.
What am I doing and why am I doing it?
Right.
Like, you know, anyway. But I feel like this must be the new thing, and I'm actually pleased with it.
Yeah.
The whole spinoff thing.
Right.
Why take development into the next phase and spend years in between titles when you can polish what you have and add on and charge $40-$50. I'm about it, honestly.
Especially when games are getting so much more expensive, exponentially more expensive to develop now,
right,
than they were even 15 years ago.
Yeah, I think that a lot of companies are reevaluating how they feel about multiplayer, even if it doesn't make a ton of sense in their game.
Yeah.
Just because the money to be made there. And so I don't know how multiplayer would even play out with this type of game.
Right.
But I'm willing to see how it goes. I mean, imagining throwing shit at your buddies could be fun.
Yeah. I mean, that's always fun.
But yeah, I don't see how it fits in, but I would like my mind to be changed.
I agree with you. When I first heard multiplayer and Control, I was like, okay, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just in the same universe.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. Knowing what I know about Control and what I know about Remedy, if you told me there's another game in this weird, obtuse, very young series coming, multiplayer would not be my first guess at all. But do you guys know if from like a canon standpoint, it was ever actually confirmed that Control and Alan Wake are technically in the same universe?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so that would be cool.
Yes.
If they somehow use like multiplayer to like really link these two together, because that's got, you know, pretty cool implications from like a whole Remedy sort of universe kind of thing. But
sure.
Yeah, it does seem like an odd choice initially.
Did they do Heavy Rain too?
No, that was not them.
Oh, my bad.
That was, I can't say the name of the studio. Oh, no, it's going to bother me.
I got to look it up.
We'll go back to it some other time. Yeah, Dave can look it up.
Yeah, is there a lot of other details then, or is it just like, hey, this is happening?
No, that's pretty much it. You know, they say they're excited about it. They say all sorts of things like that you say. Yeah, I don't really know. It's
Quantic
it's
Dream.
Quantic Dream, thank you. Yeah, yeah, thank you. It's kind of ambiguous about what it's actually going to be. But Dave's right with the Alan Wake tie-ins, and they really kind of confirmed that it was part of the same universe by one of the expansions that was really tied in with Alan Wake from a story element. I did not play that expansion.
Kind of shoehorned in.
You thought it seemed shoehorned in?
No, just like callbacks to other games you've done that are successful in your DLC. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, from what I read, and I did not play this expansion, so I can't speak definitively, but from what I read, it was very well done.
Oh,
like
good,
it was done
good,
well.
Good, good.
So,
because I know a lot of people very fond of Alan Wake.
Oh, Alan Wake is top tier.
More so, even. I mean, I've heard better sentiments towards Alan Wake than Control. So,
yeah, yeah,
mostly
right. Control, I think, would have been received better if it hadn't been pretty buggy at launch and didn't run super well on some of the last gen consoles, especially the base consoles.
Yeah.
Which is obviously a big issue when you have segmented groups of people playing the same game.
Yeah. I'm glad the PS5's out. The further we get away from these last-gen titles,
yeah,
the better. Yeah. It's a really unique time for a lot of these games switching over like this. So,
It's also really cool how you can put out a game that was on PS, or you can just put a game that was on PS4 and maybe didn't run great. It can have zero updates, zero anything, and you put it on the PS5 and it runs tremendously better. That's just so nice. Yeah,
it's crazy.
It just improves.
So, I said, I hadn't played Control, and I think one of the reasons is because we had access to it on PC. I was afraid I was going to have a subpar experience on my PC, knowing that that's a game that demands a lot of performance, and if you're not playing in the best sort of performance environment possible, it might not be the best experience. So, yeah, totally. Having games like that can run on your PS5, it removes that barrier, so... totally agree with you guys there. It makes it so much easier to want to kind of dive into those more demanding games, especially if you're somebody like me who no longer has their PS4 and doesn't have the greatest PC. So.
Right. What happened to your PS4, Dave?
I took it to work and put it in my staff room at work. So I still have access to my PlayStation
4. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Mine is literally just on the shelf behind my desk.
Cool. Is it plugged in?
No. No, because I'm an idiot and I don't use it, and I also haven't sold it. I just have it.
Dave, you're the fucking guy of the week, dude, for that statement. Dude, if somebody brought in their old PS4 to my work and put it in the break room, damn, dude.
Yeah, they were so happy. They were like, did you seriously just put a PlayStation 4 in the break room? And I'm like, yeah. Because to me, it's old garbage, you know? I'm in the future now.
I'm a future man.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. No. Can't even be bothered with it.
It's very well received.
Good, man.
EA has confirmed that Battlefield 2042 will use bots to help fill its 128-player servers. The story comes by way of The Verge. It says, coming this fall, we'll offer the series' largest skirmishes yet. Its all-out warfare modes can fit 128 simultaneous players into a single match across all platforms. Well, not across all platforms, on PS5, Xbox Series X, and PC. But you don't always have to have 128 humans in each match, because EA will be backfilling those servers with bots to keep the games populated, and there's currently no plan to let you turn that off. Before we really get into some more of the pieces here, which there isn't a whole lot of stuff about it, but what do you think about... Like,
Brandon has strong feelings on this.
Let's just go with Brandon. What do you think about bots in your game? In your brand new mainline AAA game,
bro,
they're worried about filling 128
players.
Don't
set the expectations like this. This is just a bad look.
Yeah.
It's like we're integrating bots already. Nobody. Is anybody satisfied knowing that they killed bots?
No.
I'm not.
Children.
I'm not.
Yeah.
You know when I killed those things in Titanfall, I was just, I thought I killed another player, and then I realized it was a bot, and it was just the most deflating thing ever.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And I don't know, if this is the best option, make a lower player count in your game mode.
Right.
That's the best option.
Yeah, I agree.
Not 128 players with bots, 60 players without bots. That's the play.
It's funny because you can... increase the, it seems, we don't have all the full details yet, but it seems as though you can increase the amount of bots that will be in your match, but not decrease it. So you can't choose to play with zero bots. I assume part of that is a network stability. They want to make sure that they have enough players to fill the matches, which I don't understand that rationale.
The game hasn't even come out yet.
Well, it hasn't even come out yet. And when it does, it's going to be hugely popular for at least the first however long. Yeah.
It's going to sell no matter what.
But I just think it's funny that they're like, you can add more bots if you want, but not less.
I've never seen someone asking for bots to be in a game.
No.
Ever.
No.
First person competitive shooting.
Right.
Nobody wants bots, dude. And
imagine if you were like winning and you were defeated by majority bots.
Well, dude, I mean, that just puts into question the whole stats and everything. How does that work out?
Right.
Not that, you know, everyone's super concerned with their stats in those games, but
some people are.
Depending, I mean, is this going to transfer over into the BR? people care about those numbers. I care about those numbers. I at least like looking at them. And to know that I don't know how many of those kills were just a fucking literally a brainless machine and how many were like me actually trying to hone my skill at this game and experience the visceralness of the game itself just to be killed by the game or to kill another piece of the game. I don't know. If I wanted to play with bots, I'd play the fucking campaign. You know what I'm saying?
Would it make you feel better if your stats showed real players versus bots on how many, like on your kill stats?
Well, that would either make me really happy or really sad, depending, but you know, still the best option I think is no bots. That's just so strange.
Yeah.
Was that something like they were pleased to put forward? I wonder.
I don't know.
Like, oh, hello. What's up, guys? We're going to have bots. Because that was always like super well received in every other, like when they did it in Fortnite and everything, everyone loved that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It was one of the favorite things.
It's just it's very, very weird call.
I will say the one of the most demoralizing things in a multiplayer game is seeing that, like when it shows you who killed you, that tells you it was a bot. Yes.
Dude, you're the fucking bot now, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Your kill cam is you getting killed by a bot at the end of the, end of the map.
Dude, imagine that shit. Play of the game, bot.
So we'll see what that's going to look like. They haven't revealed all of the information on that, but they did confirm that there will be bots. I think the craziest thing to me is, I've said this like twice now, but I'm just going to repeat myself again, is that it's Battlefield, which at launch has never had a problem with filling servers, to my knowledge. Maybe I'm wrong here. And it hasn't even come out yet. And they're like, automatically, we're going to give you bots and you can't turn them off. And some people will be able to have more. So I assume that means you're taking up more server space. Granted, I'm sure they have plenty of servers. But and the other thing is, historically, have we ever seen bots that if you could find a bot that played like a human, first of all, someone needs a Nobel Prize or something. But second of all, like, if you could find a bot that played more like a human, okay, maybe you give me a little competition there mixed in with other humans. I get it. But generally, it's a distraction away from the real players, the other real people playing the game, and gives them an opportunity to get one on you. I don't know. I just don't. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't vibe with it, man. Seriously, I've booted up bot lobbies in Duty before.
Yeah.
Put them on Veteran. It's nothing like playing with a real person.
I know,
person.
I've done it with you before.
Even at the best the computer can do. And, you know, maybe they have some fancy-dancy fucking technology that can change the skill ratings of the characters. But, like, that's still not going to equate for any of the human factors that go into these games. The guns that are good. I mean, you could program that sort of thing. But, once again, it's not authentic.
Right.
I don't know. It seems... it's upsetting.
Yes.
So.
I agree.
I don't love it, but maybe it'll be great. Maybe I'll be doing 360 no scopes on them. But who knows?
Dave, you love Battlefield, right?
Yeah, I really like Battlefields.
So you're really pumped about this news.
I just don't get. I'm with you. Like, it should be a long time before they even need this. But I'm wondering if this has something to do with the fact that I believe those 120 player lobbies are only for PC, obviously,
right?
PS5 and Xbox Series X, whereas the last gen consoles have a lower cap. I don't know if it's like 64 or something like that. So
maybe it has been traditionally.
Maybe it has to attenuate for the fact that there's just so few people playing on new gen consoles. Obviously, if it's crossplay with PC, it shouldn't matter. But it just seems like you shouldn't need bots for a long time after launch, because all those lobbies should theoretically fill as long as you have crossplay on with PC and PS5, Xbox Series X.
Right.
Well, yeah, Dave, that's literally what I was just thinking. It would make sense from that standpoint, right? But games coming out today, especially like this, should and need to have crossplay. So that, you know, that argument almost becomes invalid to me at that point, because if you think, you know, oh, we only have PS5, Xbox Series X, and PC. Fine, maybe you have a little bit less in there, but together,
right?
I don't know. Weird.
Yeah, for sure. All right, I got two discussion items here. Well, I guess they've all been discussion items, but one, the first one, and this may be short or long depending on how much you guys know or want to speculate. Casey Hudson has announced that he is going to be forming a new studio. This is going to be an independently founded studio. It is not going to be, you know, owned by a major publisher or anything, at least not at this point. And let me read you the actual tweet from Casey here. It says, first it says, I've been working with some colleagues on something awesome, and I wish I could tell you all about it. For now, though, I can only say this. Today, we are announcing a new independent video game company built to unleash the creative freedom of developers, bringing innovation and artistry to players through an all-new IP. And the studio is going to be called Humanoid Studios, and Casey will be the CEO. Now, for those who aren't aware, Casey Hudson previously was the GM at BioWare and was the producer and director of both the Mass Effect trilogy and Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. Obviously, those are all very well-regarded games.
And Anthem.
And Anthem?
That's what it says on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
So,
well, never mind. No, so,
go ahead. Finish what you were saying, but I want to... Yeah.
Well, the next thing I was going to say is, what do we think... What would we like to see from someone of this repertoire? And also, now that you brought up Anthem, let's talk about that, because I totally blacked that out of my memory.
So,
and in fairness, I just want to say, I think a lot of Anthem's problems were EA, not necessarily Casey Hudson and the other developers. But that's another discussion.
Yeah.
The first word that jumped out at me when I look at this tweet is creative freedom of developers. So, I mean, here's Casey Hudson, and he did a lot during his time at BioWare. So I wonder how much he was really hamstrung by EA when it came to, you know, to a creative perspective. And you just sort of mentioned that, Ben, how there's a really good chance that the way Anthem turned out was likely because EA was meddling. So I wonder if this is also another byproduct of that.
I you know, as someone who's only played a couple games in this man's repertoire, I don't like have a very strong point, but I think there's something to be said for understanding the last game that they worked on. And I agree with you guys 100%. I think that these companies, Activision, EA, are incredibly greedy and throw developers around like they're nothing.
Sure.
And I think that the tweet is telling. Creative freedom is what developers should have. That's when they make their best games. But I will say, I'm not willing to put all of my eggs in one basket.
Right.
You know, there's been many developers. Who's the Mega Man guy who put out a stinker? Mighty Number 9?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, I'm not, you know, and as someone who's not a huge fan of the BioWare series, that's easy for me to say.
Sure.
Mass Effect. But I just don't want to be excited until we see more.
Sure.
Because the last thing he put out was, regardless of what reason, was not very enticing for me. So,
I mean, I never really get super excited about new studios unless I have a strong faith in either the people there or I already know what kind of game they're working on. Then I'm excited about the game, not about a new studio necessarily. Right.
But no, that's great. New studio, new ideas, I'm sure. I love seeing new studios open. New IPs, man. That's what we need.
Yeah. I like how they also stressed not only that they would have creative freedom, but also that they're going to be independent. Because that, to me, seeing somebody of Casey Hudson's experience and probably the people he has working with him, seeing that experience and seeing that they're not being funded by anyone necessarily, like, okay, well, you clearly have faith in your product that you're willing to I would assume sink your own money at least somewhat into the project,
right?
So that's good to see too. The other thing, and this isn't in the notes and isn't in our doc here, but Brandon, right before the show started, you started talking a little bit about, you saw some stuff about a new GTA. I didn't see any of that.
Yeah,
and I'd love to hear what it was.
No, there was just some sort of leak that happened. I just saw a blurb about it on Twitter that, and you'd have to look around. I'm sure it's all over Twitter at this point, but there was rumored that GTA 6 would be set in a new Vice City.
Love it.
So,
like new Vice City or Vice City, but made new?
Yes, the second one.
Okay.
Made new, assumedly.
Right.
And once again, it's just a leak, but from what I saw, it was from someone who's semi-reliable. So I think that game is a long way out, but the prospect of going back to Vice City is great.
Yeah.
Those were some of my favorite games. I played it on PS2. I played it on PSP. And I love the 70s vibes.
Yeah.
A lot of fun, some great music. And I almost wish they would do something completely new, but I'm not surprised that they're not, if this in fact is true. Dave, do you have much experience with the Grand Theft Auto series, Vice City, anything like that?
Yeah, actually, this, I'm looking at the leaks that you're mentioning, and with the dates that they're throwing around of like 2024, 2025, it's so like, who knows where it's going to be. But when you mentioned Vice City, I played that game so much that I actually didn't need the map anymore. Like yeah, I had,
that's
I
know awesome.
from a Grand Theft Auto standpoint, it's not a huge game, but I can remember getting to a point in that game where I was like, I actually just know where I'm going. I recognize all the streets and the buildings. I know how to get to every spot. And so I would love to see a return to that, even if it's not even like a full-fledged Grand Theft Auto game. But if we got like a proper remake or something like that, that would be so cool. And Vice City would be the one that I would pick. So yeah.
Nice. I'm a little surprised. Just a slight bit surprised that they're even considering doing a new GTA game. Mm-hmm. Because, well, for a lot of reasons. Obviously, money is a reason they would do it, but I feel like they're making so much money on GTA Online that almost seems like foolish to want to work on a new game.
Well, dude, but listen, the new thing, Activision paved the way for this.
Yeah.
With the way Call of Duty is going to work, Warzone will move on separately.
Right.
So why could GTA Online not move on separately and import assets from the PS5 into GTA Online, and now you got a cool car from GTA, Vice City, GTA 6, whatever.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I really see that being a bigger thing. Companies holding on to platforms and then continuing to add to them with their new shit.
I think that's good, but I think so much of the appeal of Vice City, or really Grand Theft Auto games in general, is the time period and environment in which they're set.
Yeah.
So to take GTA 5 and throw in Vice City into that for the online component, I don't know. See, I mean, I'm sure it'd be cool.
Honestly, I would even say the same thing about Call of Duty with the guns and everything, and they're putting in quotes, Cold War guns. So I don't know. It really makes you wonder. And honestly, at this point, I don't think that GTA Online will be dead in 3 or 4 more years, but I guess you really never know. There could be something new by then.
Right. So, the game is it's such a freak of the industry, that game. And I want to say, like, yes, at some point they have to do a new GTA and they have to somehow update and migrate GTA Online to something new. But it's like that thing is printing money right now and it is just not stopping. So they don't have to do anything.
Dude, and the PS5 update isn't even out yet.
Oh, I know.
I was actually just talking about, I want to replay that, but I want to wait for the PS5 version.
Sure. Boys, we're going to talk a little bit about what we've been playing. My list isn't terribly extensive, but Dave, since you just talked about platinuming Outriders, why don't you kick it off?
Sure. I feel like such a child getting my first participation trophy. But I got the platinum. I'd been working on it for a couple of weeks now. And the first thing I did was take a picture of the screen and I shared it in the Slack chat.
Yeah.
So everybody could be proud of me. But yeah, here's what happens to me is I get a new game and somewhere between the 5 and 10 hour mark, I'm having a great time with a game. And I start to think, you know what? I might platinum this. I think I'm going to do it. And then about the 15, 20 hour mark, I'm sick of it. I want to move on to something else. And then I don't even think about doing the platinum again. That, for some reason, didn't happen with Outriders. It was an easy platinum, so that probably helped. But yeah, I think I can officially say that I'm done with Outriders. I've picked back up in Demon's Souls. I just beat the Maneaters today. I think last time I talked to you guys, I had just beaten the Flame Lurker, so I've gotten two pretty big boys out of the way now.
You're chugging along. A lot of people have trouble with the Maneater, man. That's great.
Yeah, a second try. I was pretty happy with myself. Damn, once you figure out sort of, you know, stay in the middle spot and how to bait their thing. It's the same thing with any boss.
Dave spent months perfecting his strategy by watching it on Twitch. So when he finally went into it, he knew how to.
Dude, you know it helps, dude.
You're not wrong. It was actually YouTube, but I am so scared of hitting a wall in that game that I am doing a lot of homework on it. So
yeah,
even if I tell you guys at some point in the future I beat Demon Souls, I did get a lot of help. But yeah. I haven't summoned any help. It's just preparation mentally. So.
Right.
Nice, dude.
So yeah. Yep. Trucking along there. And
I mean, if somebody told me they passed the LSATs, but that they studied a lot, I wouldn't fault them for that.
Yeah, LSATs and Demon Souls, that's a good comparison. Yeah, it's
pretty much pretty the same comparable, thing. Yeah. I think.
Yeah.
Demon Souls might be harder.
Cool. So Outriders and Demon Souls. Brandon, you just got done telling me that you're really proud because you've been playing through a lot of games lately.
Dude, I've been smashing the backlog. So I don't know if I talked about it, but I did platinum A Rift Apart.
Uh-huh.
I think I mentioned that last week. And I had never beat Ratchet and Clank 2016. I was actually like an hour and a half away when I stopped for some reason.
Okay.
So I
remember when you played it.
Yeah. Yeah. I just kind of burned myself out with the collectibles
right. The
first time around. I finally finished that, which is great. The wrong order, but I finished them nonetheless. You know, I played the Rift Apart first in 2016 after, but really interesting to see how far that game has come. The Ratchet series in general, I know it's been, you know, what, 4 or 5 years, but just so cool seeing it side by side. And there's not really any other way to do that than to just sit down and play. So that was really fun. Finally finished that. And I had a hankering to play Call of Duty, but not actually play Call of Duty.
Right.
So I downloaded the Modern Warfare 2 Remastered campaign, and that took me down memory fucking lane, man. Yeah. I gotta tell you, Modern Warfare 2, I put some 30-odd hours into the multiplayer, and it was so fun going back and remembering it and seeing it better than ever in 60 frames a second. I finished a couple things here in the past month. Rift Apart 2016 and Modern Warfare 2. And I just started Village, Resident Evil Village. So I will be playing that next.
Very cool.
Mostly just confused during the beginning, but I think that's a lot of my beginnings of games.
Yeah.
Unless it's a first person shooter, which it is. A lot of fun. Interested to play more. I don't really have a lot to say about it. I'm so early on. Yeah. So.
Cool.
Did you play Mario Golf?
Not yet. I've been saving money. We're moving into a new place. And so I'm only buying very specific games.
Right.
I borrowed Village from Dustin, so I held myself back, and I borrowed it from a friend.
I've been playing Mario Golf, Dave.
Cool.
Do you have it?
Tell me about it. No.
Oh, I was gonna say, do you want to fight me in Mario Golf?
But why is everybody getting so angry at each other on the internets about Mario Golf? I see Mr. Matty Plays and our one and own Dustin Furman fighting about Mario Golf, and it's supposed to be a fun and happy, relaxing game. It's golf.
I don't think you've ever played Mario Golf then, because like they're fighting each other constantly.
Dude, they're dancing across the green.
They're doing like special moves, bumping into each other, blasting ice patches in your way. There's like big clouds that blow in your ball.
You're referring to the new Super Rush sort of mode in the game?
Correct. Okay. Well, no. Okay. So the new Mario Golf came out last Friday. And I've been playing. I used it as an excuse because I wanted it, but I felt less bad buying it because my 7-year-old's favorite thing in the world is Mario right now. So I've been playing it a lot with him. So I haven't really got to like fully flex my golf muscles in it. But there's a traditional mode where you're playing golf. It tees you up at your ball every time. Then there's a speed golf mode where you're playing and you run it you take a swing, then you run to your ball, and it's you can set it up so it's like fewest amount of hits to the hole like traditional golf, or so that it's who's the first into the hole, which is like a different mode there. Hmm. And then there's also a battle mode, which you just compete to see who can get it into complete the course in the smallest amount of time. It's not a traditional course. It's just like an arena almost. There might be one other mode, but I haven't played it yet. I know there's online mode as well, of course, that you can play multiplayer online with people. But yeah, I mean, it's obviously been a while since we got a Mario Golf game, and I don't think I put a lot of time into the last one. No, wait, what was the last Mario Golf game?
I don't know. GameCube?
Maybe. Was it GameCube? I know there's one on the 64.
I did not have a game.
The one on the 64 I put a bajillion hours into, including up until like this year. I was still playing it with my kids especially. But no, the new Mario Golf, I mean, it's lacking in some features, but like at the end of the day, it's like it's golf. I just want to play golf. I want to hit the ball as few times as possible to get to the hole and then play the next hole. So for me, it's not, I don't have any problem with any of the lack of features. I would certainly appreciate more, but it's not taking any points off of it for me.
Did you play everybody's golf?
I did play. I played a lot of everybody's golf. I played a lot of everybody's golf with you.
What's it like compared?
I would say it's very similar in many ways. Everybody's golf definitely has more features, just different modes and stuff you can play, and more quirky in certain areas. But what it doesn't have is Mario.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm constantly wondering about Nintendo's new releases and how there's always just something slightly off.
Yes.
With me that I hear about them that I'm like, why was that the choice?
Yeah, I would agree.
Why are the features small? And I think the reason that they do that is because they just put Mario in. And that's fine.
And it sells 7 million copies.
Yeah,
in the
and
first
I don't
week.
I don't know that I like that.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. I think that that's definitely a problem. The problem with regard to that is people like me who just want to play it because it is Mario. I mean, I'm fully prepared to admit that. Like, there's no reason I needed to buy this game. I have a golf game that's great in Everybody's Golf. I could have just kept playing that. But the reality is, like, it's Mario. So I'm going to play. I mean, I'm part of the problem. I'll admit that.
Just double checked. The last game was Mario Golf World Tour on the 3DS in 2014.
Okay. So that Ben, I did have and I did play very little of.
When you play with your kids, are you like, do you go easy on them or you just fucking destroy them when you play games like this?
Neither.
Neither.
No, because my youngest son is not very good at certain aspects of the game as far as like, but he's pretty good in the rush mode where you're running from ball, like where you hit your ball to the next spot. He's not great with that because he's not quite mastered the double joystick locomotion.
The motor skills.
Yeah. Okay. But my 7-year-old is. But in the regular golf, like really, as long as you can, I mean, there's obviously more nuance to it than this, right? But like for him, as long as he can click the button at the right time, when the meter is going up and down, showing you how far you're going to hit the ball, he can pretty much get within a few points of par every time.
Damn.
Yeah. So now my 7-year-old has got a lot more nuance and skill. He's a Mario master. If it's got Mario in it, he's going to perfect it. Dude has beaten Mario Odyssey like 6 times.
Oh my God, dude.
Because he just loves, like, he just loves Mario.
That's great, dude.
Yeah.
I cannot
wait. I've only beat Mario Odyssey once. Yeah, I just didn't have any more stamina for
me it. Me too. I cannot wait to one day destroy my children at video games. No, absolutely no mercy from me. Even at the youngest of ages, there will be no mercy.
Yeah.
This is how life is. Taxes.
Yeah. I certainly don't go easy on them. Yeah.
It's like Dave Chappelle in the hospital room with a kid picking sticks.
So when we went, I didn't tell them that we were going to buy Mario Golf, even though they both kind of knew it was coming out eventually and that I wanted it. But I was just like, hey, we're going to the store. So we go and I like walk back to where the games are and I'm like, oh, look, Mario Golf's out. Let's buy it. She's like, yeah. And then my youngest is like, can we get a new game every time we come here? And I'm like, no, that's not how this works.
If you want to buy a bud.
Right. But I remember very specifically, I like had them go over to the guy because I bought it at Walmart because they have the $10 off new releases for non-first party Sony stuff. Exactly. And I walk over to the guy and I'm like, all right, tell him what you want. And he tells him, he's like, I want Mario Golf. And the guy goes, well, come over here and show me where it is, buddy. And, you know, he goes over just to whatever. And he brings it back and I look at my son and I'm like, I need you to understand something. And he said, what? I said, this is my game and you get to play it, but we're buying this for daddy. And he's like, yeah, I understand.
Nice,
so it was very much, that was probably the roughest on my bit. But no, I mean, I'm beating him almost every time, but like there are times where I'm like halfway through the match, I'm like, I'm getting kind of worried. He might best me here.
Damn, dude.
Yeah, he's better at it than I would have imagined. Just because there is some nuance and skill to it. There is a very easy mode kind of way to play it too, but yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm also playing, of course, been playing Sea of Thieves, played a lot of the new edition with A Pirate's Life, which I could gush on for hours about. I talked a lot about it on, I was a guest on Defining Duke last week. So if anyone wants to hear my extended thoughts, that's all timestamped. You can go check that out on Defining Duke. But I just really like it. I'm really enjoying it. I've finished those. I'm going to go back and play them again to get more like the commendations and stuff. But as always, I'm just enjoying playing Sea of Thieves in general. Also continues playing some Destiny. If you've played Destiny, you know how Destiny is. I don't have to tell you more about how Destiny works. The last thing I'm playing through Biomutants. I played about 6 or 8 hours of it initially when it came out. Mostly I played it to capture footage for Phil, who was doing the review, so I could edit together a little review for him. But now I'm just going back and I started it over, and I have a different character build, and I'm all the decisions I remember making, I'm making the opposite decision this time just to see how it affects things, or if it will really affect things. So I don't have a whole lot to say about it other than that I like Biomutants. They've done a lot of updates to it, which I think have increased my enjoyment of the game. But I like it. It's a cute little RPG with a fuzzy little creature. Like, you can't ask for a whole lot more, in my opinion.
I was just thinking about that game today. I completely forgot about it until today.
Yeah.
Since the last time we talked about it, literally, and that kind of struck me, is that I just lost so much interest, man.
It fell out of the conversation so much interest. Very, very quickly. And a lot of the critique of it was valid, but a lot of it was overblown, in my opinion. I think that a lot of the things that people complained about were dumb. But again, that's just their opinion. That's my opinion. So whatever. Yeah. But I'll have more to say on it once I'm done with it. But it's a lot of fun. I enjoy it. It's as much as it is a game where you do have to like absorb the story. And that's obviously a very strong component of it. It's also a game very much that you can kind of just zone out of and play it through too. So it just depends on what you're looking for there. You can reduce it so the narrator doesn't hardly talk at all. Which is a great addition to the game, I think, because if you play without adjusting those settings, the narrator just drones on forever, and that gets a little obtuse. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. We'll see how I like it when I finish it. I'm not probably gonna run for like I'm playing it on PC, so I'm probably not gonna run for like a completion run. But I am enjoying thus far in the game playing as a different character than I did the first time I played through a little bit, because you do see a different skill set, you see a different weapon set, you see some of the choices I'm making, just different, like just a very early on spoiler here, you find this guy who was like captured by the enemies, and you can either choose to let him go or not. And I was like, well, the first time I played this, I let him go. I saved him. This time I'm just going to, there was an option like, you know, you'll get by on your own or something like that. And I just picked that one. And it's not just like you don't help him. You like actually punch him in the face.
God,
so like
dude.
that was fun.
You're a little raccoon man. You just punch that motherfucker in the face.
That's right, dude. Just like knocked him into oblivion. So,
damn.
Yeah.
You're fucking cold, Ben.
I mean, remember, my first instinct was to save him. So I just had to do the opposite as well.
This Let is me a not renegade playthrough. Renegade playthrough.
Yeah, I was going to say this. He's going rogue.
Yeah. I do notice that one thing I missed from my first playthrough, I picked the whatever class it was. I can't even remember the name of the class. I have to look. But they had like the auto reload thing, like, or the quick reload, like in Gears of War, where when you're reloading, you can like click a trigger and it automatically refills your gun.
It's like a time event to make your reloading quicker.
It's almost like a real time event or a quick time event. But when you're, I didn't realize, but in this other class I'm playing, that feature isn't there. You have to wait for the gun to fully reload. And I didn't realize how much I was using it or how much I enjoyed it until I didn't have it anymore. And like, I'm still out of habit, like clicking that and then it, you know, makes the click sound. And yeah. So that's just like one very minor thing that I noticed right off the bat that definitely is a difference there, but there's a lot of differences for sure, especially when you get to punch other little rat guys in the face. That's fun. That's it for me.
Yeah,
that's it for you guys. That's it for the show, unless you guys have anything else you want to talk about.
No, man.
All right.
I hope when I finally start playing Sea of Thieves, it's not too late, and I have people to play with, so I'll be there soon, Ben.
Dave, I promise. Just come on in. When are you getting your Xbox?
I'm thinking shortly after the wedding.
Yeah.
But it's on PC.
It is on PC.
I really have no excuse. So
well, you played with me. We played together like, I don't know, over a year ago now, right?
Yeah, that's when I had Game Pass.
Right.
I could get it back. It's no big deal. But I think about it at least once a day. And yeah. I'm like, I got to jump in now because soon people are going to stop playing. And then probably not. I assume it's not the same experience solo.
It's not the same experience, although a lot of people are like, oh, I don't know why anybody would want to play solo. I like playing solo. I certainly like playing more with other people, because just like I like the PvP, I like fighting in the game. Mm-hmm. A lot of people just enjoy, you know, the PvE aspects, which are fun too, but I love the interactions with other players. That's my favorite thing about the game. So for me, when you have another player with you and can really actually win some of those encounters, that's a lot more, not that you can't win encounters by yourself, but it's obviously much more difficult because you're controlling the ship, you're controlling the sails, you're controlling the cannons, you're doing repairs, all that. So obviously if you have an extra person, those things are going to be easier to navigate with another person than they would be by yourself. So cool. Dave, hop in, just play.
All right, I'm doing it.
Also, I think it might not still be, but it was on sale on Steam for $20. So if you didn't want to have to sign up for Game Pass for $10 a month or whatever, again, just want to make a one-time purchase, you can do that too. All right. Cool. Well, thanks. Reminder, head on over to patreon.com/handsomephantom. Sign up for $1 a month and you get early ad-free access. You can sign up for more money than that too, but I'm just going to try to sell you on the $1 option. Join our Discord, hang out with us there. And I guess we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
All right. Bye. The HP Podcast and HandsomePhantom.com are supported by our proud patrons over at Patreon. If you want to support the show, head over to patreon.com/handsomephantom. The following members are producers of the show and are at the $5 level: Adaholic, Passive Pixels, Edwin Castillo, Fusebro, Boots, Ali C83, Poot, Jared, Felix Check, Josh Cummings, Edward Walton, Stewie108, Charles Peterson, Toby Ryland, Straw Hat Ninja, Josh DeBerry, Michael J. Sutherland, Jared Cavaliero, and Jason Canham.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.